Hello, everyone. My name is Christine B. I'm the chair of the Literature Committee, and I'm really pleased to welcome all of you to give us your experience, strength, and hope around the spirituality and our ACA program. And we're going to be sharing with you the results of a PowerPoint that we put together and shared with the delegates at the last quarterly delegate meeting. We have spirituality worked its way into many places in our program, including our literature. We are, of course, as the Literature Committee, most concerned with language that reflects everyone's experience, strength, and hope throughout our fellowship and throughout the world. And so we will be talking a little bit today about some work that was done by the Spiritual Inclusion Working Group. That working group actually was not underneath the umbrella of literature, but they have sent us their document. And for anyone who's interested in seeing the results of that document, it is up on our website, and in chat we'll put where you can find that. In particular, they uncovered a number of assumptions that we make when we're looking at spirituality. And in that respect, I think it was an extremely important document to kind of take us down a couple levels and say, huh, so what are our shared assumptions here? And I want to welcome Alexandra to our meeting. She's in Sweden, and she was part of that working group. And I believe Erin will also be joining us, and she was part of the working group as well. And it always helps us to have people who've engaged over a long period of time and reached group consensus over topics that are deeply, deeply important to our program. Because as we know from our readings, ACA is a spiritual program. So I'd like to begin our meeting with the ACA version of the Serenity Prayer. Please feel free to join in whatever language and whatever invocation speaks to you. I will begin it by just saying, may I be granted the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, courage to change the one I can, and wisdom to know that one is me. And I see Erin has just joined the meeting. Welcome, Erin. I was letting everybody know that you and Alexandra had done a lot of thoughtful and deep work on spiritual inclusion in a working group. And that's the way, by the way, for those of you who are not too familiar with service in our fellowship, that's the way service often works. It often works with a working group over what they hope will be a short period of time and is usually a lot longer than they think it's going to be. Engaging deeply with a topic. That was the case with safety, for example. So we welcome you to not only give us your experience, strength, and hope, but also think about, oh, good. So I'm hoping that the translation button works, the closed captioning. If it doesn't, please let us know in chat. We did, I think we were able to get that up so that our Spanish-speaking fellow travelers could be able to translate into Spanish. So welcome for your participation as well. We will save the chat. So, you know, please, if you have something to say and it doesn't get said during the meeting, you can feel free to put it in chat. And also we now have a new contact email for comments on spirituality. It is spiritual, we'll put it in chat, spiritual@acawso.org. Grateful to see that some of you are already using that and giving us your comments and reactions. Just know that this is the beginning of a conversation. We are not attempting to come out of this meeting with a document that will go up on our website. This is just the beginning of what we hope will be a continuing conversation on a subject that is very important to many of us. How we make a connection with something greater than ourselves as a part of a spiritual connection in program. So I'm going to ask folks if you would like to introduce yourselves in chat. And the reason I say that is because we do have limited time. This is one of those days where the WSO Zoom is just being used hour after hour for different meetings. But we really would like you to just tell us, you know, your first name, where you're calling from, and just welcome you, really welcome you and welcome your participation. Thank you so very much for being here. And I will get us started. I think many of you did see the invitation that went out on that went out from WSO inviting you to this meeting. But I do want to put into, and I will put into chat the invitation, because that invitation includes clicking a button and the invitation included the language that we are working with simply as a starting point, simply as a starting point for what does it mean to be spiritually inclusive and how it relates to literature, because obviously it goes all the way through our program. It's not just related to literature. We in particular are very concerned about how our language reflects the fact that we come from many different places with many different views. And for anyone who's interested in working around language, Alexandra, who's on this meeting today, is the chair of our language subcommittee. And so you can get in touch with her. She'll drop her email in chat. And you can work with her if you'd like to on questions about how we use language in order to be gentle, loving, respectful throughout our program, important subcommittee work. So with that said, I'm going to begin to show you the slides that we created to show with the to show to the delegates. And Sandy D put these together for us, and she had a great time kind of looking at different graphics that might reflect spirituality across many different views. So as you can see, this is a copy for discussion purposes only of a presentation that we made on February 18th to our delegates. And you can see that there are a number of different graphics that Sandy came up with. Our ground of being, right? Our ground of being is that we are a spiritual program. And of course, what does that mean, right? So what does the word spiritual mean? How can we define spirituality to include, honor, and respect different views? How can our literature reflect this perspective? How can you and your meetings get involved? And as I mentioned earlier, this is a beginning conversation. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the work that we've been doing so far. Ralph B., who is the vice chair of our Literature and Evaluation Subcommittee, that means it's the committee that looks at all new literature proposed to become ACA approved. We'll talk a little bit about how we actually put that into practice as we ask reader teams to look at new literature and comment. Alexandra, as I mentioned earlier, who was part of the Spiritual Inclusion Working Group, and Aaron D. will give a little bit of their experience, strength, and hope around both the work that they did and how they see spirituality in their programs today. As I mentioned earlier, you can, and by the way, these slides are all up at the literature page on acawso.org. Hopefully Ralph can drop that address into chat. And if you click on literature and then you go to resources, you will see the delegate meeting presentation, and it's been converted to a PDF. So even if you don't have a PowerPoint on your computer, you'll be able to see it. But we welcome your views at spiritual@acawso.org. And of course, if you have feedback on a particular piece of literature and how it speaks to spirituality, you can also do that at feedback on existing literature. And finally, we hope that you will volunteer to be on one of our working groups and continue the conversation. So just to, again, ground us a little bit, in 2021, the delegates passed a motion that asked us to begin planning a revised edition of the Big Red Book with new testimonials and updated content to be more inclusive of all experience of gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity, religion / spirituality, and a broader range of socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds. So this is has been our charge, if you will, into the literature committee. And that work is progressing. If you'd like to work on that working group, we welcome you. Anybody at any experience level is absolutely welcome. We meet the fourth Saturday of the month at noon Eastern time. And that working group is looking at perhaps doing a survey of our membership, but definitely looking at ways in which we can make the Big Red Book more spiritually inclusive. Big topic, huge topic. And we welcome you to be a part of that if you'd like. These are our various different subcommittees. Again, you can find them if you go to acawso.org and click on literature, the literature page. You will see all these pop up with the contact people and their contact emails. But you can see we have a lot of places where spirituality is working its way through literature. Now, this is what I sent out in the invitation to everybody. And again, we're going to welcome your views on our working definition. So this slide and the next slide will be kind of a document for you to think about and give us your comments on. And we are going to provide plenty of time for feedback and comment in this meeting. So this is not just a presentation. Hopefully it's a conversation. So we came up with a definition for working purposes that said spirituality is an experience of connection with something greater or within us, living every day in an open, present, and loving manner. Some of us choose to call the power used in our program of recovery by traditional religious or spiritual terms, or by secular terms such as love, universe, spirit, inner wisdom, etc. Others may use no names at all, or choose a secular force such as the love and wisdom of their recovery community. Spirituality is the aspect of humanity that refers to the way individuals or groups seek and express meaning and purpose, and the way they experience their connectedness to the moment, to self, to others, to nature, and to everything around us and all that is. And we put a couple of principles that we thought kind of undergird this: connection, community, love, ethics, and lived experience. So I'm going to open this up for some conversation. And I want to let you know, first of all, that that we've been getting comments in our spiritual at ACAWSO website, and that some folks would like us to name traditional religious or spiritual terms such as God. So some folks have said, hey, you know, you've talked about various different ways you can language the non-God spiritual connection. We'd like the word God to go back in again. So I'm going to leave this up on the screen simply so for folks to kind of digest it a little bit, but I would like to open up conversation, and we'll take shares for a minute or so. And if I can ask for someone to be spiritual timekeeper, that would be terrific. Is anyone willing to do that?
I'm willing to do that.
Alexandra, thank you so much. Just to keep the conversation going, we'll do 1 minute, and please put your comments in chat. So if you don't get a chance to actually speak out loud, just know that we absolutely want to hear from you, and we will be reading the chat.
Christine, do we have the right slide on the screen? I'm seeing one. I'm not sure it's the right one.
The one I'm looking at, it says here is a working definition. Is that what you're looking at?
No.
No. Okay. Then I have another idea. This was our invitation, and this is the language that I was just attempting to put on the slide. Can folks see this now?
Yeah.
The definition? Okay, great. Erin, thank you so much. Yes, our first person is it Jacinta or Jacinta?
Jacinta.
Oh my goodness, Jacinta, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to share my thoughts. I think I've only seen, I'm quite sure I could be wrong, but one or two references in the Big Red Book to atheist, agnostic. And I just heard you make the comment about higher power being either outside oneself or inside oneself. Now, that is a diametrically opposed concept. And I think that would be true in both philosophical terms and theological terms. So I hope that what the people who make the changes in the Big Red Book consider are having someone participate who can at least make sure we don't have broad sweeping contradictions like that one, not intended, but it's really important, I think, for atheism and agnosticism and some forms of Buddhism. The original teaching of the Buddha in the Theravada tradition is very atheistically based. It doesn't seem that way because the Mahayana religion or tradition.
A minute, okay.
I'll wrap it up. The Mahayana tradition turned it into a religion. But I think it's important that we come up with terminology that will support atheist and agnostic beliefs in this program. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Very much appreciated. And Marco, I see your hand is up.
Please unmute, Marco.
Yeah. My name is Marco. I'm coming from Serbia. In this definition that you offered, I have a PhD in systematic theology, so I'm kind of trained to notice the things that are not said. And what is not said here is that higher power is not... is defined as something, and that excludes over 50% of traditions that teach that higher power is someone as well. So I would propose that this something to be added or someone, so that, you know, all those traditions could be included.
Thank you so much. Point taken. Anyone else like to offer their views about this working definition?
This is Christina L. in Chicago. I don't know how to raise my hand. I'm sorry. I was looking for at the bottom.
Not to worry. You're most welcome.
Yeah. So my first inclination when I saw this was that it's not inclusive. And that's because I didn't feel that it included the people who have followed the 12 steps and have followed the belief to turn one's life over to God, as we understand God. And that includes a traditional religious spiritual God. God for me is love, but it's much more than that as well. But I just was very concerned that we're going to alienate roughly half of the population of ACA if we throw the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, I'm all for inclusivity. I personally think the Big Red Book has a lot of inclusivity in it already, but that's just my own opinion. And I don't know where this whole project came from. Oh, was that a time or something?
Yes, that was time. And Christine, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you for your view. Yeah, thank you for your view. And you're echoing what we've seen in our email. And so that's very, very helpful to get different views. Anybody else want to just react? And again, knowing this is an opening conversation, and this is up on our website, and you can take it home, think about it, come back, give us some more views. Obviously, one of the issues is, how does this all translate into our literature, right? Lisa, yes. You're muted.
Okay. Hi. So, you know, this the chapter in the Red Book where it's that one paragraph, it says God exists. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it almost sounds kind of like a demand in a sense, or a, you know, you need to believe in God, and God definitely exists. And that's a trigger, you know, for some. Yeah, I know this is very controversial. I completely understand that. And But I've been doing a lot of soul searching recently about my spiritual beliefs. And, you know, I kind of came to a conclusion that it's more of a chemical reaction, which is like, you know, sort of like a scientific way of looking at it. So I believe love is an excellent expression, because when I'm feeling really, really good, you know, and I'm doing a lot of good self-care, that, you know, then I have the awakening, spiritual awakening. So, yeah, that's, but I think it's just a chemical kind of thing. That's just my opinion. So for me.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your point of view. Much appreciated. And Ruby, I see your hand is up.
Hi, everyone. Ruby from Southern California here. Good to be here. I was reading this and thinking about it for quite some time. And my opinion on this is that the problem is not in, I know you received a directive, but for me, the problem is not in defining spirituality. The traditions are very, for me, very clear on what my understanding of anything is germane strictly to me. So I find this definition kind of high-handed in that it is dictating how a person or an individual should experience spirituality. And my understanding is this is a self-help program. So everybody seek their own path, because as it says in tradition one, the greatest progress for the individual lies in unity. So at the end of the day, all paths lead to the same destination. So I don't see a problem with the red book definition. The problem that I have is that we might want to consider we're not, as a group, applying the virtues that are already in place, that it may be a problem with the people and not a problem with the book. And with that, I pass.
Ruby, thank you. And, you know, what I do want to invite everyone, if there are particular areas that you have discovered in the Big Red Book that are problematic for you, we would really appreciate having you identify places in the Big Red Book that don't align with your own particular views. Because the project to revise the Big Red Book is a huge project, right? And what we know for sure is it goes beyond finding everywhere the word God appears and changing it to higher power. That is not, we're clear that that's not the solution, right? But what is the solution? And also, I want to also feed back to everybody that just because the delegates have passed a particular ballot doesn't mean we have to do what we've been asked to do. But we definitely know that there is a will that's been expressed in that ballot. And responding to that will and having people be heard is extremely important. So if or when we will actually be able to revise the Big Red Book in the way this ballot proposal asked us to do, I'm not sure that we even can do that. But the conversation is worth having. And you're an important part of that. Marco, your hand is up.
Yeah, on that note, thank you for offering this opportunity to comment on this, because I'm one of the translators for Serbian language for the Big Red Book and everything else. So I was translating the yellow book, the handbook. And when I came to step 11, suddenly there is an idea that the higher power is actually the inner child. And that's sort of completely went against the step two, step three, and everything just collapsed. So in philosophical terms, it collapsed. So it was like all of a sudden in step 11, somebody who is, you know, got rid of, had experience with higher power and everything, suddenly he or she discovers that higher power.
1 minute warning.
Thank you. Thank you. A higher power is not anybody else. So there was no help. It was self-help. And everything collapsed and kind of feels lonely and disappointing. Thank you.
Marco, thank you so much for your share. And I just want to respond that I too have had that concern about conflating the inner child with the higher power. And thank you just so much for putting that into space. Very, very helpful. Let's take two more comments before I turn things over to Ralph, who is on literature evaluation, and we'll talk a little bit about how these ideas translate into practicality in our literature committee. So Holly Alyssa, I see your hand is up. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Holly Alyssa from Mass 0063. And here is my concern. The pervasive way in which the divine is defined as on a hierarchy is not at all relevant to spirituality as I understand it. Spirituality is a very personal, relational dynamic for me. And when I hear phrases repeated like greater than myself, higher than myself, I feel that wars with my recovery, which is to be my own loving parent. To be my own loving parent, I don't need to be comparing myself to something greater, higher, bigger, larger, smarter than me. From other programs, I've learned to identify and not compare. And with all due respect, the hierarchical view of spirituality and religion is white male, in my experience. And I'm not white male. And I'm not willing to persist in promoting spirituality or the divine as something which is better than, greater than, smarter than, bigger than, and I'm still stupid. That's not what recovery is about for me. It's about finding my true self and supporting everyone finding her true self. So I invite us to consider strongly getting rid of language that continues to perpetuate the hierarchy, which is not what spirituality is to me. Thank you for considering that.
Thank you. And before we take our next share, I just wanted to say that one of our working groups at Literature and Development is looking at a version of the 12 steps that might be closer to the gentle and loving approach in the Tony A steps. And one of the questions that group will have to struggle with is how they language around step 3. So really good point. And just to understand, everything connects. Here in literature, like everything connects to everything else, right? Because the steps themselves, you know, in step 3 are hierarchical. And so thank you, Holly Alyssa, for sharing that view. And let's take Sharon and then we'll turn the podium over to Ralph for a few minutes. Sharon.
Okay, gracias. ¿Será posible que pueda compartir en mi idioma? Sí. Gracias. Entiendo que no es tanto reemplazar el concepto de Dios por otro, porque entonces sería lo mismo, estaríamos diciendo esta es la forma de definirlo, sino aclarar que no es necesario identificarlo y que no es el trabajo de otro, ni siquiera de la Organización de Servicios Mundiales, definirlo por el miembro, por la persona que está trabajando los pasos. Gracias por escucharme.
Sharon, thank you so very much. And we now have enabled a captioning in this Zoom, so you can caption in any language you would like to hear the conversation. And I can't, my inner child just, she's delighted when she hears someone write another language. It just lights up her day. So Sharon, thank you so much. And actually I was able to follow you more or less, which is also like my inner child's going, wait a minute, I actually understood her. Wow. Okay, Mary Ann, last thoughts before we go over to Ralph.
Yeah, I'll just share that the way that I think about the higher power is that I connect my wise woman, who has always been present all my life, who is not the patterns and the distress from my dysfunctional family. And I reconnected and found that wise person. For me, that wise person is connected with my higher power, who I think of as God. But I very much have come in my 30 years in ACA to love people who are atheists, agnostic, and some who can relate with my wise woman or my wise man as a higher power, and finding that in connection with people in the rooms of our meetings. So I thought I'd just share how I think of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really, really productive comments, and everybody was heard. And let me turn things over to Ralph, and he can let you know a little bit about how we actually take this conundrum into our job, which is to evaluate literature. So, Ralph.
Thank you, Christine. So the Literature Evaluation Subcommittee, which I'm the vice chair of, has a process that's been defined in the last couple of years for reviewing literature. And part of that is, for anything new that comes to us, we put together a reader team of volunteers, and we're always looking for volunteers on reader teams who read through the document and then answer some basic feedback questions that we have put together. And then they get together and have a group conscience and a discussion about the material they've reviewed. And one of the current topics that comes up is the tone of the language is one thing. Is it gentle and loving? And the other, another one of the ones that is currently a theme is, how is the question of spirituality approached? Because as you can see from the working pick group's paper, there are things in some of our existing literature that are triggering or traumatizing for people from a variety of perspectives and personal experiences. And it's a big challenge. We don't have a set of standards to apply yet. We're just trying to apply our best judgment and look at what the reader group has to say about it. So I guess I'm asking you to comment on our process as it is, and what suggestions you might have for the process. I know, as we can hear from the sharing here today, there are a lot of different ways of looking at this question, and different things work for different people. Mostly what we're trying to do in the review process is be sensitive to things that will be re-traumatizing to people, I think, in part. So with that, I'll open it to the floor. And if people have comments or suggestions they'd like to make, we have a little time for that.
Hi, could I comment? My name is Sharon. I'm not able to raise my hand at all because I'm just phoning in.
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure you could hear me.
We can.
Okay, thank you. You know, I'm kind of newer to listening to some of these meetings. And in a way, sometimes I think that a lot of the discussion is trying to like fix a problem that isn't a big problem. What the gentleman just commented on, I mean, I actually find it hard to believe that people would be traumatized by something that they're reading in the Red Book. I think that newer people come into the program and they are traumatized. They're traumatized from their life experience, and they're finding the program and stating that our program sometimes uses God or sometimes higher power. I find it very inclusive because people can define a higher power in any way they want, or they are even told they don't have to even have a higher power. They can just utilize the material in the program and come sit in meetings and listen.
One minute. Warning.
Gain what they can. So I find it's already inclusive and not traumatizing from my experience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Lisa, your hand is up.
Yeah, I kind of have a question. I'm not sure, but if the big red book says the word he or him, I think that's, for me, that's a little bit of a turnoff. I can't control anybody, what they share and how they share it, you know. Sometimes there's some kind of innuendo crosstalk at times I hear, which kind of, you know, really turns me off. I really am thinking more about the gentle side of it and that masculine deity that, you know, it's been pounded in. So I'm a religion person that I was raised a minority, you know, and so I've been searching for something that's loving and caring, you know, and I believe it's inside me. It's me. It's inside me. So, okay, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. And Ruby, your hand is up.
Ruby here. I just want to speak to, I believe it's Ralph's the standards of review. I have a problem with the usage of tone. Tone is problematic for me because I'm a Black American descendant of slaves. And one of the major criticisms that we have labored under, especially Black women, that our tone is angry or aggressive. And I've served on literature committees before, and the standardization, when we get submissions from people who are Black Americans, their submissions usually test because dominant criteria requires an attribute that is not true to their experience. So I have a problem with using tone. I think that we should employ the principle of open-mindedness and allow people to be who they are. And again, I reiterate that many of the things that we're talking about are not problematic in and of themselves, but it's problematic in how we look at them and what type of attitude. Thank you. I thank you for your service. And the type of attitude that we ourselves in recovery bring to the work. So my recommendation is that tone not be a standard because of the situation, right? So if we want to be inclusive, tone cannot be a part of it, because that means that no one that is a Black American descendant of slaves could pass the muster of literature submission. They would have to actually pretend that they're white and talk about experiences that they never had, that they got from a movie or something. So if we want to be inclusive, we need to accept people as they show up. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ruby. Jacinta.
Yes, you were asking earlier for any ideas of anything that's in the Big Red Book that could be really addressed immediately. And I do think that the proposition God exists is shocking. If you want to say God exists for some people, that would be the truth. It is not the truth that God exists for all people. And to make that such a powerful proposition in the Big Red Book is the first thing I think should be changed. Secondly, I think the Literature Committee really has a vast amount of secular literature and psychoanalytic theory from Eric Fromm and Harry Stack Sullivan. Even some of the people quoted in our book, Arthur Janov of Primal Therapy. There are so many people whose work we can draw on to come up with replacement terminology for spiritual experiences. I do personally do not have spiritual experiences, but I have moments of awareness where I feel very connected to my fellow humans. I have peak experiences That was Maslow's term. I have different kinds of things happen that put me in touch. Okay, thank you. That really put me in touch with the majesty, the majestic feelings at times of being a human being. But they don't come that often or I wouldn't be in this program. So please, let's look for the literature where we can find terminology that represents these experiences we have that are very powerful experiences, but they are non-religious and they are not theologically based. They are philosophically and humanistically and anthropologically based. Thank you, I'll pass.
Thank you. And let's hear from Lynn and then we can move on to hearing from our working group.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to share. Lynn, ACA in Southern California. Thank you for the opportunity. Just real quick, just to reiterate on the last share, I just came from a meeting where we discussed God Exists chapter. It's page 283 in the Big Red Book. So what do you call it? when the stars align, or when, you know, synchronistically, I found out about this meeting. So I wanted to hop on and just share that even though I believe that God is love, and my personal beliefs are to accept those who have other beliefs. And three or four shares in, you know, about 40 people, and it's a large meeting, who did have a reaction and a problem with that, just that God exists in that heading.
1 minute warning.
Thank you. So inclusion, definitely, I'm glad we're discussing that. It's something that, you know, is in our world as we move forward. So and I agree. It'd be great to include or change the wording somehow of that. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. Lynn, you were heard. And Marco.
Thank you. I would like to go back to the purpose of this meeting and the document, which is we discuss. Inclusivity. If we go down the line, down the road of finding exclusively secular definitions about spirituality, we will definitely exclude people who are coming from different traditions. For example, as I said in my first comment, by this very definition that is offered, we already excluded over 55% of population globally. So this is not inclusive. We have to find a way. I would love to find a way that we can actually find some wording in which everybody will be included. And not to be,
1 minute warning.
Thank you. Not to be completely secular or completely traditional, but to include everybody. So that way, everybody can find an invitation for their own personal experience, but will not feel excluded. I have felt excluded by step 11. So that's why I'm trying to, you know, this is about inclusivity, not about defining higher power.
Thank you, Marco. And much more to be said. Please do feel free to use our email. But I want to get on to hearing a bit from Aaron and Alexandra, because they did some really important work on this topic with a working group. So, Aaron, would you like to make a few comments?
Sure. Thank you, Christine. I'm sad we don't have the presentation that Sandy did for us, because it was just so beautiful. I'm going to give you a little bit about my personal experience around spiritual inclusion. And at the time that I was participating in the spiritual inclusion working group, it was a bit after the diversity statement had been approved in the annual business conference in Sweden, I believe. And the diversity statement, ACA is an inclusive organization open to all affected by family dysfunction. We strive to create an atmosphere that reflects the diverse communities we serve and where everyone feels empowered to be their full authentic selves. I think I said that right. I was in a meeting, my home group, and I was chairing, and we had just read the diversity statement. And as soon after I read the diversity statement, because I was in the spiritual inclusion working group at the same time, like just popped into my head and out of my mouth was, if we're going to allow each of us to be our full authentic self, empowered to be that, how can we have to say something that we don't believe? Like, so where the word God comes up in the program, shouldn't I be able to say what that means for me? Like what higher power or love or, you know, a higher purpose is one that I commonly say. And as a result of me saying that, it became a squabble and I was misinterpreted and scapegoated. Which was okay today because that's definitely my trigger and my recovery helps me with that. So it became a squabble, and a couple of the people who were very adamant about the word God ended up leaving the meeting. It was probably three people that left the meeting. And as a result, after we had then a group conscience. And in the group conscience, it was apparent that what we believed was the majority was actually not true. And so as we then started to talk about this issue, you know, about what was happening and how people were feeling about it and what if we wanted to do anything about it, the space was now so open for people who had different views of what a higher power was or wasn't, were now freely speaking in a way that they hadn't before. And so we realized that thinking we were the minority, we were actually the majority, but we didn't feel, we felt intimidated or stigmatized to be able to say something, and that's on us. And so as a result, what we came up with was another thing to read in our format, and that you see on the screen, which is we invite spiritual inclusion by letting readers use their words of choice or refrain from any wording in any texts and prayers where the word God or higher power is currently used. And so that is, we actually read that right after we read the diversity statement. And despite the fact that we read that, we went back to in-person after about a year ago, and we still get newcomers who come feeling very uncomfortable, feeling challenged, actually saying that they want to leave because they've had religious abuse, you know, because it's not where they're at. And the good thing about that is because we have this statement, we can talk about it in ways that nobody felt comfortable talking about it before. What I think is beautiful about it is that we also have people who come and God is their higher power, is their word of choice, and they stay and love us too. and to me, these are the traditions in action. Tradition two, hearing the minority opinion, taking that group conscience. Tradition three, the inclusion. The only requirement is the desire to recover, not to believe a certain way. And tradition one, of course, the unity comes first, the unity of the desire get past this family dysfunction. So, yeah, I think that was that went faster than I thought it would. So space for the agnostic, the atheist, the Buddhist, the Muslim, all of us, the naturalist, is so important. And part of that lives with me is my brother, who committed suicide 5 years ago, who he was an alcoholic and addict since he was in high school. And, I have a lot of family members in AA, and like, if he only could have gotten past that, he would have been so amazing in AA, and he would hopefully have still been here. So I have a strong commitment to being inclusive, and also recognizing that there is religious abuse. So that is my share. And I hope that you will join us in literature in development as well with the steps.
And Erin, you've been asked to repeat what you said about the traditions, which traditions in particular you were referring to. And I just want to let everybody know that Erin has been very involved in leading traditions meetings and workshops. And it's with great gratitude that we incorporate the traditions into our work and get reminded about them. So I thank you for that, Erin, and just letting people know again what traditions have affected your views about spiritual inclusion.
Well, and because of my love of the traditions, because I found my spirituality in the traditions. I searched all over, and I had a sponsor who said, "Stop searching." And I started studying the traditions, and it was like, well, there it is, the spiritual principles. That's my spirit. That's my world. And I also heard it earlier from Ruby today when she went right to the traditions. It was like, yes, I'm like, not in my head. Yes. So I did it in order of 2, 3, 1 instead of 1, 2, 3. And remember, anonymity runs through every single one of those traditions to create the beautiful tapestry. Tradition 2, listening to, having the group conscience and listening to the minority opinion. And it is said that when we hear the minority opinion, that is the presence of, that is a loving presence that comes into our meeting. So tradition 2, listening, trusting, and then tradition 3, inclusion is that spiritual principle from the desire to recover. And then tradition 1, unity and personal recovery, and we can't have personal recovery without unity, and how reflexive that is. So yeah, 1, 2, and 3, steps 1, 2, and 3. I'm Polish, do the polka, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I'm Irish too, so I could do the Irish jig.
Thank you, Erin, so much for your experience. I hope, Marco, I'm going to ask you to hold your comment because I want to make sure that we have a little time for Alexandra to bring in her perspective from the work she's done. And we will definitely then hear from you after that. So, Alexandra, welcome into our space.
Thank you so much. And thanks for us being here, speaking our hearts to this group conscience. And it's really empowering. And I grow so much when I hear everybody else. And that's where I recover, in community. I would like to have a 30-second warning. And yeah. I also like to say that I'm an infinitely precious human being that grew up in a dysfunctional family and society, and I'm recovering here together with you. When I was in ACA and starting my journey, I was in Sweden and we had live meetings, and the most recovered meetings that I could go to were not spiritually inclusive for me. I did not feel included in the higher, which some people have mentioned, of the hierarchy. For me, it says greater, believe in something greater. Greater can be around me, but it can't be inside of me. So that has evolved like inner. And now I have a sponsee who believes in many deities, gods, helpers, from the Swedish tradition or pre, you know. So it has expanded, you know. And for me, I've always had, you know, where I come from as a white woman, the sexism has been felt for me in this program. And for me, God reprogram, it took like 20 years for me to be able to use the word God. I would only use the word goddess. And I know that people of my line have been burned for just saying what they believe in. And I feel that in my body. So for me, it's not about throwing out any babies. No, we are adult children and we are the babies. It's adding, it's addition. In addition to higher power and gods, we can add nature and love in the community and yes, something stronger, but not just stronger, more loving and the community. And it doesn't have to be spiritual, you know, it's like people were talking about the aware moments and this thing that my belief is including other people's beliefs. And for me, the contradiction is like, that is including everything. And the principle of contradiction, you know, the unity of that, you know, the unity of believing multiple things at the same time, beyond. And that's my experience. So I was coming to ACA after I've done my 12 steps, and I was like, my meeting was forbidding me to speak. No, if you're going to lead a meeting as a woman, I could just not do the dishes. I needed to also lead the meeting, you know. And I couldn't say higher. For me, it was greater at that time. And people were like, no, you can't. Are you going to read it the way it says? No, you're breaking the group conscience. You cannot do that. Boom. And I just felt in my heart of hearts that I wasn't about wanting to break anybody's group conscience. I just wanted to feel included and safe. And so I attended the first live ABC in Malmö, Sweden, and in the pause with tears in my eyes out of anger, you know, about the not policing the tone, you know, the openness. But I went to the literature chair that I had emailed all my things. I tried to bring them up in national Swedish. You know, we have changed our stuffs to include a group conscience. But like if one person voted no and nine others voted yes, we would say, no, it's not a group conscience. And so I brought it to the international service. I didn't know that existed. So I caught the literature chair and said that hadn't read my stuff a year ago. So I thought that the ACA was really conservative and not wanting to listen to stuff like this. And I said, do you really have to say like higher power or whatever, you know? And so then this person said, now is the time to start the spiritual inclusion work group. It had been on the agenda, but that was the timing of what was it 4 years ago. And so I've grown a lot since then, and I've listened to many, many people, and atheists and agnostics and Christians and people believing in some, that was so important, believing in someone, not only something, or just having an awareness or higher purpose, you know, to find some way where we can all feel safe and included. And I've brought it to my home meetings now, and I have other meetings to choose from. There's an array of meetings across the globe. You know, I go to a lot of queer meetings where I found a lot of inclusion, and I've always brought it to the group conscience. You know, this Erin inspired me with the work of traditions. She said, use the traditions, use the traditions. So I was being like, the principle of love, the principle of truth. But now I'm a bit more gentle as my recovery has, you know, worked on me and is working on me. But the meetings I go to, we have, a acknowledged this sentence that people can use the words of their choice or refrain from them. So we want everybody to be included. We want more to be people to be included. We want to be able to carry the message in a safe way, without tone policing, with an open-mindedness. And this is the beginning where we can listen to each other and we can combine everything to find some kind of unity in contradictions. And this work has started. Yeah. And I'm glad that I can feel safe now. And I would like our literature to reflect that safety and inclusion when a lot of us break the don't talk rule, because Christianity is the dominant religion and it has formed our literature, even though the people that really started it, they wanted to be as inclusive as they possibly could be. And what they wrote then was God to your understanding. But now people are wanting additions to God, including myself. not throwing it out, or him or her or them. Thank you so much for listening to me. I'm looking forward to continuing this discussion and evolution at, you know, I'm working in the language subcommittee and in the spiritual inclusion email, and let's do the change you want to see in the world.
Alexander, thank you so much for your share. And I just want to reiterate all the different ways and places that your views can be reflected in the work we're doing. The literature and development, which is headed by Erin D., you're looking at her. The language subcommittee, which is headed by Alexandra, from whom you just heard. The literature evaluation committee, which is the vice chair of which is Ralph, from whom you heard. And of course, I'm the head of the literature committee. And we are working on policy statements. We are actually creating a new literature trifold about literature policy. And so whatever we decide in our beautiful group conscience is going to work its way into a document. The current trifold that we have on literature policy says only one thing. We are an open literature policy. You can use any document that that your group by group conscience feels helps your recovery. But we have many policies. And one of our policies is going to be the word inclusion, however we end up languaging that. So we welcome you to be a part of all of this. And Erin, your hand is up. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, there was one other thing that I forgot to say, which I which is why it was shorter. I remember, as I know Alexandra does, when we first started that working group, it was probably three or four meetings where those first meetings were all about how were we all going to be safe together. And we actually, you know, set a format, you know, kind of rules about how we would be gentle with each other, loving with each other, you know, inclusive to all, you know, and hearing each other. And so, I mean, it just speaks to, you know, it's a challenging topic. You know, we feel very strongly about these things. And it's a measure of our recovery that we can be inclusive and loving and gentle with each other. And, you know, that it's all about unity. It's all about healing these children inside, whatever way works. I have a 97-year-old little Catholic Italian friend who is one of the dearest people in my life. Her son died from a drug overdose. He was my boyfriend. And she would say to her daughter, Lisa, I don't care what you believe in. You can have a lucky rabbit's foot. I don't care, but you have to believe in something. I don't know if that's true, but it made a lot of sense to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Erin. And our time is running short. I know there's a literature evaluation meeting actually that's going to be beginning in about 10 minutes with this Zoom. But Marco, your hand was up before, and we definitely want to hear from you again.
Yeah, just to make sure that I have been understood properly, because I felt that there is some kind of misunderstanding. I'm not advocating for, you know, including God, you know, in the definition. I'm just, this is my position, just to say that spirituality is an experience of connection with something or someone. That's it. That's the addition, nothing else. So I'm not trying to, you know, impose anything, you know, that would be, triggering. I don't think this is triggering. So just to include people who believe that God is a person, as opposed to, you know, not opposed, as added to those who believe that God is something. So that's it.
Thank you. Completely understood. So I hope that as a result of this meeting, you decide to get involved, continue to be involved. Let us know what your views are. Hopefully join with us in service. And in closing, I would just like to say that the people that you heard from today, Ralph, Erin, Alexander, and myself, we would not know each other but for service. I would not be in relationship with these extraordinary people but for service. They're all over, in Alexander's case, the world. I would not know them but for service. What an incredible gift. What a blessing. So I hope some of you will join us. And I would love to ask Sharon to take us out with the Serenity Prayer in her home language. I hope she's still here. You here? Still here, Sharon? Yes.
¿Cómo la empiezo?
Hoy.
I pass.
Thank you, darling. Thank you so much. Anyone else like to take us out with the Serenity Prayer?
I can do my best in Spanish. I don't always do the ACA one as well, but I don't know if I was going to make it more inclusive, it would be today I seek la serenidad, aceptar las cosas y personas que no puedo cambiar, el valor cambiar aquellos que puedo y la sabiduría conocer que eso empieza conmigo.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you all of you for being with us. And we hope to see you again in service soon. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Will we have chance to have this recording maybe of this meeting? Thank you everybody for service because me here. My name is Oliver.
Yes, it has been recorded and I have to figure out where to post the recording so people can actually access it. Ideas, it can go in the Slack channel. It can go in the literature Slack channel. But I'm guessing that some of you may not be on Slack or may not be on our channel. And so, Alexandra, an idea. Oh, yes, good. Give me an idea.
Marcin can put it on the Literature Committee quarterly page of meeting script. What's it called? Meeting notes. When he has time, because he has done so much loving service.
I know. He's a miracle worker. But we will definitely, A, we have the recording, and B, we will find a way to get it accessible to all of you. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for your service.
Thanks for our service.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone. See you next time.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.